Welcome to Life with Liz. Let's chat about our quirky world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Life with Liz. Someone DM'd me last week and told me to slow down when I speak, and my response was, maybe you should just change the setting on your podcast download because you can change the speed on iTunes. I don't know if you knew that, but you know, the more you know with Liz Rao. Anyway, whoo, she is on one today, ladies and gentlemen. I just feel like I haven't talked to you in forever. And I know last week was kind of a downer because I was talking about moments that built me, yada, yada, yada. This week, I'm on way more of a rampage than that. I'm definitely feeling, you know, I'm not going to say bitchy, but bitchy. It's just the best word to describe so many things. But I was just thinking about how long, in fact, I've really described myself like that. Definitely since high school, when I thought I was like, cool. And then when I was in my 20s, a group of girls and I came up with the term BAOB for badass old bitch. Because obviously when you're like 25, 27, somewhere around there, use old. Hi, Puffin. You podcasting today? Oh, my little love bug is joining us. I don't know if you heard it. He rarely ever meows, so that was a present for all of you all. Be grateful. Anyway, so we were talking about badass old bitches. And there was probably like five or six of us. And then after a while, we inducted more people into it. And it was just a joke. It was just something to laugh at because we just felt so old in this particular space we were in. And now I realize, like in my 30s, I want to change the word bitch to broad. Badass old broads. Because I ain't in my 20s anymore, you know what I mean? I'm like mid-30s, which is almost 40s, let's face it. So I want to have a rebirth of the BAOB club, but I want to change the acronym to stand for Badass Old Broad. So if you would like to join me, go online to social media and hashtag BAOB. Because I personally just feel we can make this work. So I want to talk about the days when I was a badass young broad. I don't know if you knew this about me, but when I was in high school, I was just gifted with words that can make people feel sad. It's a true gift to be able to pull out emotion, and there's no easier emotion to pull out than sadness, because it's always on the cusp of everything, I feel like. So fun fact, the more you know, anyone can be happy, but can you make people sad like a clown? But anyway, let's just rewind back. The reason I brought this up is because I found this poem I wrote when I was a sophomore in high school. I mean, it's genius. It could be updated to today. And I'm going to read it for you. It's a dramatic reading by Liz Rao. I hope you're ready for this. Clear my throat. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. I can't even say that. Okay. Here it goes. It's entitled Tired by Liz Rao. I'm tired of all the violence, all the long drawn out wars. I'm tired of all the nudities, all the sex without love. Still true, by the way. All these abandoned children, all these teenage parents in hell, all these school tragedies, all these broken families. Too many uncured diseases. Too many will die. Too many lost in affairs. Too many tears to cry. Yesterday, you were here, but today, you are gone. Yesterday was bright with sun, but today is shattered by rain. I'm tired of all those walking the streets and all those drug-starved souls. I'm tired of all those lost in the shadows, all those who will never know. I'm tired. You're welcome. I mean, was that not like genius for a 16-year-old? And here's the thing. It was post 9/11. So obviously, I think I was playing up to the tragedy side, which is not great to say. You know, I'm just self-editing in the moment and realize I should edit that out of the podcast, but I'm not going to. But we had to write like a poetry book of different types of poems in sophomore year. And I don't know if you remember last week's podcast where I was complaining about this sophomore literature communications teacher who could never grade things correctly. Calculators just weren't her strength. and I still have a B on my high school transcript, and it still pisses me off. She literally took 2 points off of this whole project, so I got a 98 out of 100 because I was standing in first position. Not because I messed up, not for the quality of the writing, but she didn't like my feet. Okay, typically when you present something, you're behind a podium, so no one sees your feet. The fact that you couldn't afford a podium in your classroom, not really my problem, but I'm just saying, I remember it. Oh yeah, I remember. Here's what else I want to say about this poem. I'm tired. Could it not be like the best country song you could ever think of? It could be like, I'm tired of all the violence, all the long drawn out woes. I mean, I think we could really do it. Like when the part where we get to too many uncured diseases, we could be like, really arc it. Too many uncured diseases, too many will die. I think we could do it. I know my voice is like Whitney Houston meets Lady Gaga. So you're welcome for that as well. But I just didn't know that at 16, I was a country songwriter. I mean, I was the original Taylor Swift. You know what I mean? I'm going to send this to T-Swizzle, see if she can make something out of it. And I'm going to be famous and win a Grammy. And there you go. All because I had a project when I was 16 and I was playing towards people's sadness and brokenheartedness. So you are welcome. I especially like the part where I put all those drug-starved souls. Like, that could be better. You know, maybe all those, I don't know. Like, I'm tired of all those walking streets, all those long-lost drug souls, maybe? I don't know. No, because then the next line I use Lost in the Shadow. So, you know what I mean? Maybe all those drug-filled souls. Taylor and I will talk about it. We'll talk about it. We'll get back to you. I'm going to learn how to play guitar. And then I'm going to write a hook for it, too. A little hook, a little chorus, and baby, we are in business. Grammys 2020. I will see you there. I think I could just upload this and onto iTunes. I mean, I don't need a record label because as we've all learned, we need to own our own material. If Taylor Swift has not taught us anything in life. Speaking of that, because it's on my mind, I'm down with Taylor in this little record label fight because why can't an artist own her own material? Why are two men putting the foot down for her on something that she wrote? They literally had nothing to do with writing any of that music. They are not the one building the relationship with the fans. They are not the ones out there performing and killing themselves and probably starving themselves and having their public lives thrown across the media and being trashed over and over and over. And then, like, getting in a fight with Kim Kardashian and coming out with some badass album with snakes all around. They didn't do shit. She should own her music. And that's where I'm going to stand at. I stand with Taylor. You know what I mean? Whew, I told you so much. I was on one. And a couple weeks ago, I asked people on Instagram, like, what you would like to hear more from me about. No one wanted to hear about the Russian. I mean, it was pretty much like 40-60. So he lost votes. No one cares about the Russian. Now, I tried to tell him once on a podcast that he needed to kind of pick up the pace, be a little more social. I'm snapping if you can't hear that. And he didn't really like my constructive criticism. I said, you know, you gotta have a little more pop, a little more zig, a little more zag. And I didn't get that from him. So, you know what? Instagram, I'm gonna listen. I'm only gonna force him to podcast with me in cases of emergency. And instead, I'm gonna give you more Liz Rouse solos. You're welcome. You're welcome, America. And a little bit of Ireland, Australia, United Kingdom. I would love to, like, go to London and podcast. So, United Kingdom, build up your listening stats. But, so that's where we are. What you did like to say was that you wanted to hear a little more about my fascination with Bravo. And I don't know if that's just my stunningly honest reviews, or if that means you're just as obsessed with reality television as I am. So here we go. We're going to roll with it. And you know what's on my mind? Below Deck. On last week's Below Deck, Riley came back. Love it. Love it. Because the season was getting a little dull because there's only so many of the snarky Kevin you can take. And I love it. I appreciate it. She's good for TV. She's good for entertainment. I'm down with Riley coming back. And quite frankly, Kate needed a friend outside of Courtney. We needed someone from last season to make Kate feel a little more comfortable because the girl's got her work cut out for her. She basically has Chef Leon number two, and that is Kevin. the chef from, I don't know, like Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, somewhere, probably South America. I'm probably totally off. Anyway, he has an accent that sounds slightly sort of somewhat British. That's, I'm going to just hedge my bet there. He's a douche. He is a big old, like, moron. Like, the mansplaining and him not listening to when dinners are supposed to be ready and not listening to his chief stew when she tells him we're having dinner at 8 and then he's ready at 7 and he's pissed she's not there doing service because she has other jobs to do. She doesn't just cook. She cleans, she cooks, she bartends. She has to tell Simone how to do her job because she's supposed to have a year of experience and has no idea what service is and has no idea that you're supposed to ask a guest, do you need anything? No? Oh, okay. Like, she's terrible. And then, like, on top of that, she made this comment that Kate was threatened. I'm just paraphrasing. But that Kate was threatened because Simone was smarter than her because she speaks, like, 6 languages. No, Kate just doesn't want to have to do twice the work. She just does not want to have to do her job and your job and then have Courtney do laundry, who also really sucks at laundry. Like, she's putting everyone where they're the strongest because you're in season, you're not in training, and suck it up. If you're not good, get better. Study, girl. Practice. Learn how to open a bottle of wine without having to put it on a table. I can do that, and I'm not a server. You know what I mean? No, you probably don't, Simone, because you're just too smart. That's how I feel about that. And then, did anyone else notice that last week at the bar when they were all drunk, Simone made out with Tanner after he threw up? Yeah. Just let that sit with you for a little bit. She had no idea. I understand it. But the taste was probably foul. I'm just saying. And then he had no idea that he made out with you or how you ended up in his bed. And you still hooked up with him the next night. Granted, there are different variations, but as we know, you probably did it. I mean, we saw the footage. We heard the moans. We heard the sounds. We're going to go with that. Get some self-esteem. That's all I'm going to say. Get some self-esteem. Be better. Represent women better. Then you have mansplaining Ashton, who turned out to be a big ol' man slut pig. Slut pig, if you don't know, was a phrase coined by the great Kim Richards in Beverly Hills season, 3, I want to say. He's a man slut pig. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back about 3 episodes where he says, I'm tired of working so hard to get my dick sucked, and then you will agree with me. Because he tried to hit on every single person, and nobody wanted his stripper, Patrick Swayze-esque self. Because he does look a little like a young Patrick Swayze. It's kind of weird. He could be like his, son or something. Son, nephew, something. Somewhere around there. But there's just something about someone who is so into their own looks that becomes very unattractive the older you get in life, because you realize that there's probably not a whole lot else there in that package. And I feel like Ashton's portraying that this year. He wants to be everyone's friend. He doesn't want to have to be a boss. How many times does Captain Lee have to tell him how to do his job? And like with Abby and the hair tie, he saw Abby every damn day and never told her to put her hair up. And then Captain Lee's yelling at her every damn day, several times a day. Granted, Abby, that was dumb. But Ashton, do your job. Be the bad guy. That's what being a boss is sometimes. You have to sometimes come from a place of no. That is how it works. If you don't know what I mean, then don't be a leader. Then moving on out, okay? I'm going to get off of it because I can't. But Below Deck is on tonight and I'll be tuning in. So stay tuned for next week's podcast because maybe it'll get interesting. Moving on along to Real Housewives of Dallas. I don't have too much to say about the season, but the Housewives in Thailand was pretty freaking fantastic. I'm tired of Deandra and I'm tired of Leanne. I would like to see them both go. I used to like them both, especially Leanne during a season of I don't need knives, I got hands. That was like peak Luann. You know what I mean? Now it's just become expected. She cries like every episode about being the victim, but then talks about how shitty her child life was and how it's made her such a bitch and so defensive. Like, pick a lane, Leanne. Pick a lane. I love Brittany and Stephanie. Keep them for life. It's like having Beavis and Butthead mixed with a little of like Romy and Michelle. Somewhere in the middle is Brandy and Stephanie, and I love it. I'm here for it. They're friends first. They host a podcast together. Maybe one day I'll be on it. But they bring it for me. I'm a little tired of Carrie. I'm a little tired of Cameron. I would just like to recast. Do some recasting, Bravo, but keep the two leads because they're rock stars. Then you have Real Housewives of New Jersey. I mean, is there anything better on TV right now? No, I don't think so. To watch Teresa stew and stew and stew, you know a table flipping moment is coming. And is it going to be Jackie or is it going to be Margaret? My money is on Jackie. And also, I really, really can't wait until the preview where Danielle is blaming Margaret for the end of her marriage comes up, because we all know that's false. We all know your marriage ended because you're psycho, you know, allegedly. But, yeah, don't throw stones at glass houses, Danielle. That's all I'm going to say. I do like Jennifer. Jennifer's growing on me. I like her impressions. I like her 18 bathrooms and the 46,000 thrones she has throughout her house. I want to live like a princess, too. And I want to marry a plastic surgeon, too, so I can have tummy tucks whenever the hell I want them and a breast lift and Botox. That sounds like a dream come true. Sign me up to marry your brother next when his arranged marriage doesn't work out. I'm there for it. I don't even need to meet him in person. Just put me on the list, girl. I can be Turkish. Moving on along to Melissa's made-up storyline. Because I don't for a second think she's trying to actually have another baby. Is she just out of things to talk about and wanted to have something dedicated to herself instead of being in, like, Teresa's storyline? I mean, she's basically, like, the sister-in-law. And you can't hear Joey Gorga say poison any more times. You just can't. I cringe. I get the cringe sweats. Everything clenches. Like, my stomach aches every time I hear him say, it's poison. Like, oh, God. Ugh, come up with a new word, please. Just get a synonym book, open it up, find a new word. Anything else. It's like when men say the word moist. Never going to happen. Not okay. Move it along. You know what I mean? By the way, what happened to that, like, Italian restaurant that they opened two seasons ago and they had to film everything in? Is that already gone? Must be. And why do they film everything at Rails? Which one of them has a stake in the restaurant Rails that they're always filming at that? You know, the one with the bookcase and dates back to the days of Soggy Flicker when she first appeared on the show and her face was all wrapped up because she had just had a facelift. I mean, there really have been some great moments on Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's almost up there for me with Real Housewives of New York, but not quite because they don't have a Bethany. Bethany self-edits in the moment. It's amazing. It's like my dream to learn how to do that. And I gotta tell you, I still feel sadness for this upcoming season of Real Housewives in New York that she's not gonna be on. And I don't know if you've been reading the news, but Tinsley has stopped filming. Just totally left. And Tinsley brought a lot to the table. I don't know why. I liked her. She was fresh. She was like the new Ramona. Because Turtle Time needs to leave and we need Tinsley time. And Tinsley got engaged finally to Scott. I guess has just picked up her life and moved to Chicago or something, because that's all he ever wanted her to do, and has stopped filming halfway through the season. So we lost two for this next round, and I was feeling a little nostalgic. And, you know, I flew to Vegas this week and back and spent a lot of time in my hotel rooms catching up on work, and I just decided to put on some vintage Roni. I went back to season 7 where Bethany returned. Now I'm on season 8 because what happens when I start binging is I have to continue the story. Even though I already know what happens, I still enjoy it. It's like reading the same book 100 times. I love it every single time. And God, I miss Bethany. I mean, I'm on the episode where she's calling Countess Luann a whore and sleeping with other people's men and married men and young men and being a hypocrite to Carol. Oh, the Bethany and Carol friendship, that is no mas. I mean, God, icon. She's a freaking icon. She always delivered. She always brought it. Ramona just comes off crazy season after season. I don't miss Kristen Teichman or Heather. I think they both had their moment. I think it peaked with Aviva. And definitely when they were in Montana the year before, like season 6, I think. But, you know, I do miss the Carol and Bethany dynamic. I kind of miss Jules, weirdly. She brought the quirky dynamic to it, but then she, like, got divorced the minute they were done filming, and who knows what that happened. But I want to know what happened to that house, like to that mansion you were building out in the middle of nowhere in the backwoods of Southampton, like ever get, or East Hampton ever get finished? you know, your 20,000 square foot house that had the indoor pool and oddly had construction going on, but no lumber anywhere in the yard and it was covered in dog shit. What happened to that? Who got that in the divorce? Like, do you have to finish that, Jules? Because that seems like a pain in the ass. I'd rather have the Flatirons 4-bedroom apartment right above your ex-husband's office. That seems like a better way to go. And how do you have an apartment right above your husband's office and he still manages to have an affair? Like, that's almost a talent. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying, like, he's right under your nose and still did it, allegedly. You know, I'm just going to throw that in there. You know, that word, you know, everything's alleged on this podcast, except for the fact that I was goddamn talent when I was 16 and writing poetry. Next week, we're going to read a different one. Then here's the other thing. One last thing on my rant today, and then I promise to God I'm going to hang this up, give you a break, and maybe go take a Xanax. Can we just talk about the holidays? I know I come off snarky. I'm one snarky broad, as we're going to say. I'm a basic broad, because in your 30s, that's what you say. And, you know, I like holiday traditions. I like the songs. I like the jingles. I love the twinkle lights. I'd leave them up all year long. I like wreaths on my door and candles that smell like Christmas and cookies and gingerbread. I like the whole thing. I do. Shoot me, sue me, kill me, stab me, beat me, whatever. I like it. There are plenty of people out there knocking that crap. I don't need that right now, okay? Life is stressful. End of the year in business and corporations is stressful. So let me have my holiday juju. Let me listen to Baby It's Cold Outside, which is not a Wraith anthem. And if you think that, please turn off this podcast, walk away, and delete me and never come back. I like It's a Wonderful Life. I love Home Alone movies. I even like movies that aren't Christmas movies that become Christmas movies. And I just watched, what did I watch the other day? Oh, The Man Who Invented Christmas with Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey, if you don't know who that is. Oh, my good Lord, why is this not a Christmas classic? It was amazing. It's when he plays Charles Dickens and he's in the process of writing A Christmas Carol. I never knew that he was crazy and psycho and could visually see his characters, but it makes sense because when I'm writing a book, I dive into the world. Like, I'm living in that world, my daydreams in that world, my nightmares are in that world. It's my little happy place. My happy place never talks back, though. So Dickens, mastermind or multiple personality disorder, who knows? But the movie was great. It was fantastic. I recommend you download it, watch it now. You will feel better. And I didn't know before that nobody really celebrated Christmas. It was kind of a dying tradition. He brought it back. So thank you. Thank you, Charles Dickens. Maybe I'll go read one of your other books sometime. Maybe. I don't know. According to the movie, there were quite a few failures, but, you know, to each their own. I can't talk. None of my books are, you know, hitting the New York Times bestsellers. And yours are probably still on the list somewhere. But anyway, back to what I was saying. See, I just spiral. I just talk. It's like a stream of consciousness. But I guess what I'm saying is I need people to be better. I need people to be kind. I need people to get off my jock when it comes to holiday spirit. Because that's my little bubble of juju. That is where I want to live. And if I want to sing Baby It's Cold Outside 1,400 times, listen to every single version of, I can't think of Carol of the Bells. Yeah, that one, which weirdly enough, my favorite version is Jessica Simpson's. Don't judge until you hear it. It's pretty good. But that's where I'm going to live. I'm going to be a basic ass old broad who was a basic Christmas broad. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right, guys, I'm done with my rant as promised. Shoot me a message. Give me something to talk about next week because coming up with content, it's not always that easy. I'm just saying. And in the meantime, be sure to check out my blog on Wednesday of this week because I am talking about a new book that I'm working on. And I put on a cover. I do a mock-up cover every once in a while when I just need inspiration. It doesn't mean that's what the cover is going to be, but maybe it'll give you a little insight into what I'm writing and how I came up with it. Otherwise, happy holidays, y'all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
Life with Liz.